Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
All right, let's pray, and we'll get into this morning. We'll have to deal with the humidity. The carpets all got cleaned, so I think they're mostly dry in most spots. It's just humidity still left in the building. So, all right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your strength and your life. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. You lead us and guide us into all truth. You bring things to our remembrance. You give us utterance to speak as we should. And Lord, we look to your word to continue to transform our thinking and your grace and your empowerment as we put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. So we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that it is life, health, and medicine to all of our flesh, that it is correcting, it is disciplining, it is strengthening, it gives us direction. And when we have a goal, we have a purpose, then we can make decisions that are wise and full of your goodness and lead to your goodness and increase of your blessing in our life. And so we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I want to start, and I don't know how long I'm going to do on this series, but for the title of this, I'm going to call it Complaining or Thankfulness. And I'm going to start on the negative side, and then we'll get to the positive side as we go. But I'm going to talk about complaining and what that is. I felt like the Lord wanted me to talk about this for a while, but you know, you just got to kind of look at things and take your time. Otherwise, I can dive into it too soon. But so I'll just read my introduction here. In these morning leadership sessions, we have had quite the length of time looking at the importance of walking in love and how as leaders, according to Galatians 6, the spiritual ones look to restore those who have fallen through truth and love. So we look to restore people through the avenue of truth and love. We spend extensive time looking at the characteristics of love and the importance of walking in love when it comes to leading. Love is a subject that you can repeat on a lot. It is always needed. How many have noticed that? How many notice you don't just gravitate in the morning toward walking in love? You don't just wake up and like, oh, I love everybody. I just... No, because it's not of your flesh to do that. It's of your spirit, and you have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll put it to you like this. I heard Keith Moore say this years ago, and it's so true. You're walking in love the strongest when you feel like it the least. You're walking in love the strongest when you feel like it the least. So if you're biting your tongue and not saying what you want to say, what you feel like in the flesh, you know what, I use the term feel, but then you're walking in love the strongest at that point because you're putting to death the desires of the flesh and you're putting on or expressing the nature of the heart. Does that make sense? Okay. So, you know, sometimes I think people want to feel love, and they feel more spiritual when they feel God, but in all actuality, it's the other way around, because we live in deadness. Isn't that stinky? Literally. You know, you never notice a baby doesn't stink, but then at a certain age... Well, you know what I mean, like body odor, just general body odor. At a certain age, boys and girls got to start wearing deodorant. Why? Use dying. That's why. You're dying. It's the truth. From the time that you're born, you're dying. That's the progress. And we know this, and we shouldn't be afraid to realize it. Or even laugh about it. Especially believers, because we know where we're going. Okay, so anyway, I in thinking about this and looking at this, you realize I got to put this love on, and I got to do it daily, and I can choose to do it even if I don't feel like it, and I can walk in love. I can choose to curb the way I say things. I can choose to put certain expressions on my face. And this is not being your personality. It's just having the love of God flow through the personality that God's given you. Because all of us could have extremes. We have what we talked about before, personality disorders. Everybody does. Because we've been shaped by circumstances, situations, people, parents, all that stuff. And now we've been born again, and so we have to retrain or transform the way we think. And as we do that, then we express who we are in Christ, and we put on Christ, and God gets the glory for it. So we can always grow in love. This morning, I want to look at another subject that will have an adverse effect on the fullness of God level in our lives, because that's what we're after. I want to look at the subject of complaining. This is a trap of the enemy that we will see in the Old Testament actually prevented an entire generation from entering the promised land. Walking in the fullness of God on a corporate and individual level will require that we get rid of complaining. All right, so I'm not going to read Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Let's go to Philippians 2, verse 14. Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, then Philippians, right? Philippians chapter 2, verse number 14. All right, there it is. What it says, therefore, or do all things without... Do how many things? Wow. I am not winning at that. What do you think the word all means? I hope it means some. Do all things, and that all things, the phrase is means, the actual kind of the Greek thought is daily. And whole, like whole. Do daily, wholly, all things without complaining. No complaining. Jesus, let's all just pause and pray. Do all things without complaining. And then we're going to, and it goes to another level. You know, the Holy Spirit just can't leave it alone. And disputing. No complaining, no disputing. Now, when I give you the definitions of these words, you're going to cry. But it'll be a healthy cry. Because I've been crying healthily for a while. All right. So, the word complaining means murmuring, grudging, grumbling, secret debate, or secret displeasure not openly avowed, and to mutter. You say, what does that mean? That's you by yourself going, do all things without internally, okay, good, we're laughing, not crying, but a secret debate among people, this is also complaining, means displeasure or complaining in private rather than in public. That's what complaining is griping. I'm not talking about discussing something, you know, that's an issue. I'm talking about you're just embittered. And you're meditating on something and feeding on something. And you know it's working because there'll be a growing bitterness toward a person or a situation. Instead of walking in love. It'll start to form like an unforgiveness. You ever done this? You know, I'll just give my examples. to where you see somebody and on the inside. Because inside you've been having conversations, and sometimes they come out, you know, people talk to themselves all the time, I do it. When you're by yourself and you're discussing things, you're rehearsing things, have you ever done this? Now, not all of that is bad. It depends on the motivation of what you're discussing. So it depends on the motivation, right? And so that's what complaining is. Complaining, and we'll get into this, you'll see the more and more on why this is important, but complaining actually stops faith. It hinders your faith. It's just like faith that works by love. Complaining will actually, you're getting out of love specifically, so you'll end up stopping your ability to go into the promises that God has for you. Now, as a church corporately, it's the same thing. Because if the Israelites were stopped, even though Joshua and Caleb were in faith, but the majority died in the wilderness, and one of the main reasons they did is because they complained. They complained about everything. After, now watch, after they watched God make them rich, heal their bodies, and drown their enemies, and protect them over and over and over and over again, which tells me that choosing to be thankful has nothing to do with seeing miracles. It's a heart attitude. And it's a heart attitude we have to maintain. And so we combat this by being thankful. So let's, since this definition is so exciting, let's look at some more. Mutter means a complaint uttered in a low and indistinct sound. Grumbling means a continuous, full and low throbbing sound. We are to do all things without complaining. Without complaining. John chapter 7, verse 12. Here's this word murmuring or complaining. It's the same word. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said he is a good man, others said nay, but he deceiveth the people. So this is a picture of what this is. There's little pockets or groups of people, and what are they doing? Murmuring. They're speaking. Now some of them are saying good things, but some of them are saying, no, this is bad, this is evil. And what do we know about the people that said, that complained about him in a negative way? They ended up killing him. Because whatever you complain about in a negative way or a bitter way, you end up harvesting that motivation or that action in my life or in your life. You'll actually end up, like I've watched people do this. They have a job that they really wanted, and then they get into it, and they don't like their coworkers, and they start complaining about it, and they actually end up quitting the job that God gave them because they got into complaining and bitterness. Instead of taking the opportunity to do what? Walk in love and grow spiritually. You actually end up spiritually making yourself weaker by complaining and leaving difficult situations. Just because a situation is difficult doesn't mean you leave. You know, I know some people thought that's what the word of faith was, but that's a joke. That's a joke. I loved what Brother Hagin would say to us all the time. He said, Christianity is not a flowery beds of ease. He said, the word of faith is no promise that you're not going to have trouble. It's a promise that you'll overcome in the midst of it. Amen? And so we can help our faith by staying away from complaining. Okay, so what's the second word here? Disputing. What are disputings? Disputing means doubtful discussion. It also means the thinking of a man with himself, a deliberating question about what is true, or discussion of doubts. That's disputing. This is dealing with meditation of doubts. What we meditate will become our conversation. What are the private conversations you are having with yourself and with others? We are to do all things without disputing. So here's kind of this verse translated out with the definitions in here. Do all things without murmurings, grumbling, muttering in a low voice, and disputings, criticism, and skeptical questionings. Isn't that interesting? When producing the good works which God has willed to do in us, we are to do it with a right attitude. This means things are done in fellowship with an attitude of love. When we are in fellowship, we are under the control of the Holy Spirit, who sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. This keeps our lives from being hypocritical. Now, this is the bigger issue, because if we sound just like the world around us, then we stop our witness. So we really shouldn't sound like the world. We should sound like the Master. And in order to do that, you got to put, you know, you do. You put that watch on your mouth. And when everybody else is complaining about the boss, you don't join in. Right? You're thankful. You find something to be thankful for. You know? And this strengthens our faith. It strengthens and develops our spiritual growth. Our attitude is a part of our witness before the world. We are not only to speak our witness and regard each action as a witness, but also to show forth a proper attitude in everything we say and do. Okay, so let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. That's to your right. And we're going to look at, before we get into even more on complaining, we're going to look at the fact that we have the ability, we're going to look at another portion of Scripture that talks to us about the grace of God that we have to walk above complaining. So Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 14. So we got to realize this. We are what? We are empowered to be thankful. So I can look at my situation and go, how are we going to make it through this? This isn't fair. I mean, I serve the Lord. Have you ever heard people do this? We'll talk about somebody else. Lord, I got sick, Lord. That's not, I serve you. That's complaining. That's feeling sorry for myself. That's not standing on the covenant. That's me going, well, Lord, I do all this stuff for you. I'm not earning my salvation. It was given to me. God owes me zilch. If I got what I deserved, I'd be born miserable, live a very short, miserable, sick, destroyed life, and die and go to hell if I got what I deserved. But grace gives me something else, right? So grace gives me ability. So instead of thinking about or complaining about my situation, I need to go, Lord, thank you. I know this isn't of you. I know this is the enemy's work, because you don't have flu. You don't have COVID, whatever. I don't have COVID, but you don't have this. You don't have that. The enemy does. Thank you that you're helping me get through this, and you're causing me to recover quickly. You see that? It's a difference, right? These stupid kids, what am I going to do with them? First of all, you're not helping your kids' brain ability to develop like it should if you call them your stupid kids. Okay? That's not helping them. You want to speak life over them. But it's complaining. Instead of that, say, Lord, the kids are not acting the way they should, and I know you got great destinies for them, so I thank you that you gave me these kids. I thank you that I have this opportunity to raise them. Give me wisdom. But if you go and if you declare these things, you pray these things, and then you turn around and start complaining again and murmuring again, you'll lose the answer. You'll get into this funky place of feeling like you can never get an answer. And it's a spiritual principle. It's a law. When you complain, it literally shortens your eyesight. You can't see a victory. And what I noticed is, even with the children of Israel, God did not sit back and go, you're right, those giants are big. I'm so sorry I told you to go into the promised land. He doesn't put up with that. He won't put up with it. He'll let you die in the wilderness, and you'll go to heaven. See, he's that good. He's better, far better than we deserve, amen? But see, now we have this power and this resurrection within us. So let's keep establishing this thought in us, because I don't want you to hear the, it's not the negative side, but that's how people picture it, you know, because they hear, don't complain, don't dispute, and they go, oh my gosh, I do that like, you know, maybe 3 hours a day. How are we ever going to beat it? By the grace of God. Okay? And we're going to see it right here, okay? Hebrews 2:14 says this, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So, did Jesus share with us? He did. What did he share in? Our what? Flesh and blood, right? All right? So, we have flesh and blood, and he partook of the same. He shared in the same. That through death, through his death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. All right, so shared means to participate or to belong to. Jesus fully defeated all the temptations of the flesh. This is wonderful for us in two ways. First, it means that he purchased our full salvation, so thank God for that. I mean, let's just get the big one out of the way right away, you know what I mean? And then, second, we are looking at here, what it means is he aids us to overcome those same temptations as we develop spiritually. So two things took place when he put on a body and then he died for us. One, he gave us eternal security, right? You're going to heaven when you die. The other thing he did is he put heaven within you and empowered you so that you can dominate the same flesh that he dominated with his power. Do you see that? Okay. Now, I love this, okay? The more I think about what redemption is and what Jesus did, think about this. Even when I don't use the power within me to dominate my flesh like I should, one, I don't lose my salvation. Two, there's blood flowing constantly and I get forgiven and it's like it never happened. Whew. Now, some people get so heavy on the side of forgiveness that they don't even try to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's like a thing now. We're under grace. Live like the devil. It's a thing. And I'm like, dear Lord, you got to be kidding me. You know? And God, yes, God forgives people. God is very merciful. He's way more merciful than I am in that sense. But we have the ability of God within us to stop complaining because Jesus never complained. And then he put that power in you. Isn't that great? Now, don't think, well, this isn't that big of a deal. I'm telling you, it hinders your faith. Big time. It stops your faith from working. And how do we inherit promises? By faith, right? It's faith and patience. If your patience ain't functioning, I guarantee you your complaining is. Right? It's very that way. Because we do naturally, it's easy for me to get my eyesight over into the natural and then begin to look at that instead of being focused on who the Lord said I am. And when I do that, I stop being thankful. Because what is there to complain about in the resurrection of Jesus? Not a thing. I mean, we may not have the latest and greatest truck. Mike does, but it doesn't even run that great. He got bad gas. Literally, like. I'm thankful for this message. Yeah, in the truck. It Shane said yesterday he was riding with him. He thought he was back on the farm. Oh, geez. Funny. In other words, there's always something to be thankful for. And we'll never raise above the level that we currently are until we get thankful at a greater level. I'm awake today. Praise God. I'm not at 100% energy, but I guarantee you I got a whole lot more. And I'll just keep getting better. Why? Because, and we can be thankful about that. We can be thankful for all these things, you know, one after another. Go down the line. Be thankful. You have the ability within you to do it. All right. So he shared in this. He shared in the, and participated in the death that we actually produced or co-participated with in the Garden of Eden. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15 says this: "For we do not have a high priest who cannot," watch this, "who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." So can he do it? Yes, he can. Sympathize, actually, the word actually means compassion or to feel with. To feel with. We have a high priest who, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in what? All points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus has been tempted in every way we have. Therefore, he knows how we feel in every circumstance. Now that takes faith to believe that. Because we're so natural, it's like, are you sure? You know, like I heard Jesse Duplantis say one time, he did something stupid, and the Lord was chewing him out. And he said, "Lord, you don't understand. We're just little people down here." He said that to the Lord. The Lord knows exactly how it feels. Now watch. I want you to see this, because I want you to see the power of grace. He was tempted in all points as we are. Now, let your mind think about a few sins, especially in our current culture. And he was tempted in how? Every single one. So, yet without sin. That means there's deliverance for every single one. There's no such thing as, oh, that's homosexuality. There's no deliverance for that. See, but the world wants you to think that. They want people to think, we can't help it. We're all spiraling this direction. There's no help for us. We just need to let it go. That's a lie. Jesus put on our flesh. He's been tempted in every single point as we have, yet without sin. And that empowerment, the victory over every one of those sins, is now in you. And you can deliver it to somebody else. Right? He's tempted in every point. So, not only was he tempted in every way, but he beat every temptation for us. This for us was first to give us the ability to be born again, and second for the purpose of empowering us with grace to overcome temptations in this life. We have grace to help in this time of need, which to me has proven to be as long as I am in this body. In other words, you wake up in the morning, you need grace. You go to bed at night, you need grace. At all times, you need grace. And here's the thing, God gives it in full supply. Amen? Amen. People say, well, I have this problem, and it just I've asked the Lord, and I just don't know why it's not gone, and da-da-da-da-da, and they talk about, no, you just haven't gotten an understanding of the depth of grace that is within you to be able to overcome it. The issue is not that God needs to change. The issue is that God doesn't need to be more powerful. That's not the issue. The issue is we need to have a revelation even greater of the ability of God within us to overcome the situation. Whether it be healing or not lying. I don't care what it is. And in this case, not complaining. There is enough grace within. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I used to think, those people are so religious. They're always saying, thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. But it's actually biblical. You're supposed to be just saying, thank you, Jesus. All day long. Glory to God. I'm not saying you have to do it loud. You know what I mean? Everywhere you go. I mean, you can if you want. It's your world. But you should be, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And when we fill our mouths with that, we're not filling it with something else. This is a crummy situation, Lord, but praise you. I don't like how it feels, but glory to God, you're bringing us through. Amen? And doing that, it produces that even in your kids, and then it produces it in your wherever you're ministering. Leadership, whatever it is. It reproduces it. And you're emanating the Lord. You're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're releasing the resurrection. Amen? All right. So this word help, this is a cool word. This is in Hebrews 4:15 where it talks about he's able to help us. Actually, it's in verse 16. Sorry. And he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. So isn't that interesting? We were grace born again, and now we have grace to what? Help. I've got grace for help. Well, it doesn't look like it's working out. Grace is working, and it's going to work out. Grace is working. It's going to work out. It will. Because we won't let go of grace. And grace is, man, it's not fair for the devil. Tough. That's too bad, you know. He's the one who decided he wanted to be God, not me. That was a dumb move. All right, this word help, this is really interesting. I thought this was such a cool definition. The word help is a nautical term, and it means to aid, especially a rope or chain for frapping a vessel. Frapping means to bind something tightly. So, frapping is passing ropes or chains under the hull of a leaking ship to keep it together. So, what it is that the ship's going through life and it's starting to get beat up, and grace, help, fraps it. It throws ropes and chains underneath that ship so it won't break up in the sea. It won't leak, break apart, and fall to pieces. So you can make it all the way to the end of your voyage. Does that make sense? And so it holds things together. You know, they tried to do that with Paul, but they didn't frap that time. I think they did a little bit, and then they were like, forget it, just let it go. And they let it go and ended up swimming on planks, pieces of the ship. So the idea is that the grace of God provides the ropes or chains to keep this body together in a sin-ridden world until we fulfill our voyage. The grace of God tightens us for ability over the nature of the sin of sin and flesh. It tightens us. It strengthens us down. God's grace gives us the ability to do what humanity cannot do on its own. It gives us the ability to do what humanity cannot do on its own. There should be, it's just like Jesus said. He said, what thank have you if you give to those who give to you? In other words, where's your witness if you do good to everybody that does good to you? That doesn't, any old devil can do that. Any old sinner can do that. It takes the grace of God to do good to somebody who hates you. Now that's impressive. Everything else, you know, it's like these celebrities. I crack up every time I see this stuff. There's this big headline. Oh, so-and-so gave $1 million to, you know, starving people in Africa. And you got a big old announcement over it. There's your reward. In other words, it takes more character and ability outside of humanity, obviously, and the grace of God to do something good and be criticized for it. It's grace. If you can do something for somebody who hates you and bless them, bless those who what? That takes supernatural ability. There's only one way to do that. And you may have to, grab your flesh by the nape of the neck and make your flesh go do it, but you can do it by the grace of God, right? You can do it by the grace of God. And what takes place is, one, you minister life to that person and they now have coals heaped on their head, right? Hot coals, right? But the other thing that happens is you now have realized that there's an ability within you that you didn't know was there before. There's a capability to do something that you wouldn't be normally able to do. You wouldn't naturally come up with that. It wouldn't be your natural mind. You stepped out of it, and now you're in a place where you're going, okay, I just did something that is outside of this world, and I know I didn't do it because of just me. I did it because of him. Now, that's something impressive. But that's what grace is. That's what the ability of God is. That's what separates us from the world. So even when it comes to, you know, living a life that is thankful versus complaining, it's the same thing. Well, you're just trying to be positive. You know, people will make fun of you. They will. They're just that, you know, that person's just so positive all the time. As opposed to what? You, the griper? Well, you just think you're going to overcome in everything. Well, the Lord did tell me to do it. I mean, I'm talking about not even the world. Christians will get mad at you. Well, you're just not living in reality. Actually, you don't know what your reality is. I understand the circumstances, but the Lord commanded me in faith to speak a different word in the midst of them. I'm not denying that they're there. I'm denying their right to stay. Well, you guys are, you know, the positive preachers. You know, we're looking at this in Philippians. Paul was the perpetual positive preacher. In prison, chained to guards, count it all joy. We're coming out, guys. Victory's right around the corner. Don't quit. It's not psychology. It's not just positive thinking. It's spiritual realities being released. Amen? I watched my grandpa do it over and over again. My grandpa, we'd show up at work, or it'd be time to go to work, and he'd have a cold or something, and he'd just go, and he'd just work, and he'd work. And by the end of the day, he'd be fine. And he lived to be 91, and he was very positive. He didn't complain a bunch. Now, he'd share his opinion. If he thought you were wrong, he chewed me out more than once. But every day he'd get up and go and just go and do and do. Even after he retired, he still worked 30 to 40 hours a week at the ranch, trimming trees, doing things like that, just constantly going. Why? He had a can-do attitude. He had the Lord. He knew the Lord. And he knew things needed to be done. And he also knew this. There is no sense sitting back whining about it. Let's just get after it. And he functioned in that grace. And he didn't know some of the things in the Word that I know. But it didn't seem to, affect him. You know what I mean? It's like everything he knew, he did. Instead of worrying about what he couldn't do and all of that kind of stuff, he just moved forward. God's going to get me through. Here we go. Here we go. And he walked through the death of his first wife, got remarried, and the pastor, I remember the pastor, Pastor Stan Simmons, did the wedding, and he goes, you know, at the wedding, he said, you know, if you guys, you know, enjoy another 10 years together. It was like 23 more years that they lived and were married. And my grandma, my second grandma, okay, so this will make sense, but my first grandma passed away when I was 10. So he got married like a year and a half later to Marge Switzer, and who ended up obviously being Marge McFarlane. But her husband was an alcoholic. And she walked through all of her garbage by the grace of God and lived to be in her late 80s. So even in these difficult situations, but they were not whiners. They were get up, get it done, go, let's get it, let's be thankful. And they enjoyed another 23 years together. It was phenomenal, you know? Because the reality is, in all of this, as far as the complaining versus rejoicing, the whole situation that we're talking about as far as being thankful versus being ungrateful, the reality is that our bodies are going to die, right? I mean, is everybody going to agree on this or not? Okay, unless Jesus returns, your body's going to die. And in all actuality, I actually thought about saying this morning during the main service, but I don't think I will. People might freak out. I was going to say, you know, I almost, you know, I'm dying. The doctors told me I'm dying. Oh, man. I just love my grandpa. I get that cynical, you know, humor from him. But the truth is, from the time I'm born, I'm dying. Now, I'll be satisfied with long life, but unless Christ returns, I'm not getting a glorified body this side of his return. The dispensation doesn't fit, right? So what are we going to do? Are we going to complain about our, you know, your bad elbow, or rejoice over your good one? Right? What, my bad knee, you know, whatever. I mean, people will obsess over, I got this on my pinky, and they forget all the other ones are good. Right? In other words, kill the complaining by the grace of God. Amen?
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.